Going to throw. Drake picked up the pressure. All alone is Zay Jones, and he will prance into the end zone for the touchdown and the victory in overtime for the Raiders.
What a crazy football game last night. Monday Night Football, the Raiders win in overtime 33-27. They were down 17-10, scored a touchdown. Ravens scored a touchdown. Raiders come back, tie it. Ravens get a field goal. Raiders come down, kick a 55-yarder at the end of regulation to tie it. Then they go to overtime. Raiders celebrate. They have a touchdown. And review shows that they're half yard short. Everybody celebrates. The both teams came out, congratulated each other, hugged each other. Then they had to go back to their sidelines. Raiders run a quarterback sneak, get stuffed. So now you're thinking probably another quarterback sneak. Offensive lineman, a rookie, moves. Okay, now we got second goal at the six. Now it changes everything. Next play, pass. That is right through the hands of Willie Snead, who used to play for the Ravens. Through his hands off a Ravens defender's helmet, ricochets, and intercepted by the Ravens. So the Raiders go from, hey, we won, we celebrating, to, oh, God, now we're probably going to lose. And then Lamar Jackson does what Lamar Jackson does. You know, I'm so tired of hearing how great Lamar Jackson is. When it's crunch time, I don't know, man. I don't really see it. Last night, he fumbled twice in key moments, including one in overtime. And the Ravens got the Raiders got the recovery. And Raiders end up winning the ball game on the touchdown pass you just heard. Ravens brought they couldn't get a lot of pressure on Derek Carr. So they brought, you know, they had cover zero. Nobody back, no safeties. They brought the house, and the Raiders burned them. If they do that against the Chiefs Sunday night, it's going to be a long night for the Ravens defense. I can assure you of that. Here's John Gruden on the emotions of winning in overtime. The roller coaster ride for the Raiders as they start 1-0 in the AFC West. And the NFC West are all undefeated. Every single team, the AFC and NFC West, are 1-0.
No, I felt like I died and woke up and died again. And I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough, but again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
The Raiders did. I mean, they look pretty good offensively. I was impressed with what they did. Their defense seems to be improved, and they get the win at home in Las Vegas. And the Chiefs now, of course, will play at Baltimore Sunday night. 6 o'clock pregame, 7:20 is kickoff on Z96.3 of Lake, your home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. And we'll have Matthew Derrick on in about 15 to 20 minutes to talk about the Chiefs' improbable win over the Browns and look ahead to that matchup with the Ravens. The Chiefs have had the Ravens' number, and Patrick Mahomes has never lost to Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, or Lamar Jackson. He's perfect against all those guys. And those are the top comers in the AFC. We'll see if the Chiefs can keep that rolling coming up on Sunday. Local sports, we turn over to Dusty.
Yeah, just a few results from tennis from yesterday from the area on the girls' side, as Beloit was at Chapman, number one doubles, first place finish for Tatum Tejans-Peters, and came on my phone there, Ashlyn Knight, her partner. They went 3-0 there, first place finish. Number one singles, Lene Knight was second place, 2-1. Number two singles, Cameron Seidner, the same, went 2-1 and finished second. And at number two doubles, Addison Emmett and Sydney Kahn placed second and finished 2-1 as well. But second place as a team. If you want the individual match scores, you can find those at ntksports.com. Also, the Osborne girls tennis team competing at the Victoria Triangular yesterday, where Gracie Reiner and Blair Walters, number one and number two singles, both went 2-0 and finished first place. We will have later posted this morning the complete scores for those matches for Osborne as well at the Victoria meet yesterday in girls tennis. Coming up today, some high school volleyball in the area as Minneapolis is at Beloit tonight at 5 o'clock, North Central Activities Association action. You can find online video stream at ncksports.com with the Beloit Trojan channel if you want to watch those matches for the Beloit Lady Trojans here this evening in volleyball. Also, Thunder Ridge Triangular, St. John's Tipton and Pike Valley also competing there. Lakeside hosting a triangular with Chase and Lincoln. Southern Clouds at Tescott tonight. Osborne, Sylvan Lucas, and Natoma are at the Wilson Quad. And then Smith Center is competing in the Mid-Continent League at the Stockton Triangular tonight. Hoxie is also at that one here this evening. So let's look at what's going on as far as high school volleyball for today. Again, all the local schedules are at ncksports.com.
All right. Locker room chats again tomorrow and Thursday, and our football coverage on Friday. Our games of the week on the radio, Beloit at Concordia on Katy Country 94, and Osborne is at Lakeside on Z96.3 The Lake. Top 25 college football poll has been released from the AP. That's what we'll go with, the AP poll. Alabama number one, Georgia two, Oklahoma three. Oregon shoots all the way up to four after their big win at Ohio State. Iowa's number 5, Clemson 6, A&M falls to 7 after their narrow win over Colorado. Cincinnati is 8, and they are the best team in Ohio, as they're ranked ahead of Ohio State, who is number 9. Penn State 10. Florida is 11. Notre Dame 12. Notre Dame fell 4 spots, and rightfully so. UCLA is at 13. Iowa State drops from 9 to 14 after they lost to Iowa. Virginia Tech at 15. Coastal Carolina moves up a spot to 16. Ole Miss is at 17. Wisconsin 18. Arizona State at 19. Arkansas not ranked, but when you beat Texas, it's a big deal. So you automatically get ranked when you beat Texas, apparently. They go to number 20. North Carolina 21. Auburn 22. BYU, new member of the Big 12, 23. Miami, Florida 24. Michigan moves into the poll at 25. Central Florida, new member of the Big 12, is just outside the top 25, as is TCU. They're at 26 and 27, respectively. K-State received 30 votes. USC received 9 more votes than K-State, and they lost to Stanford by 14, and K-State beat Stanford by 17, so obviously people aren't paying attention. Not that it really matters at the end of the day, per se. If K-State beats Nevada this week, and I would say that K-State's got a chance to maybe move into the top 25. Some people that vote on the polls did have K-State in their top 25. A few, not a lot, but a few. Skylar Thompson report on him is that they hope to have him back before the season is over. Nothing definite on timetable with Skylar Thompson, but Will Howard will be your starter coming up Saturday afternoon at 1:05 against Nevada. Already, a college football coach has been fired. You lose to Stanford, you get fired. That's what happened to Clay Helton. Clay Helton fired just 2 days after it lost 42-28 as a double-digit favorite at home against Stanford. He was 2 games into his 7th season as Trojans coach, 46-24 in his 7-plus season at USC, 6-2 in his last 8 games, 5-1 last year. A season shortened due to the COVID-19 pandemic, USC made it to the Pac-12 championship game undefeated but fell to Oregon. You better have somebody in mind. You better have somebody you're ready to go with. You must, I guess. I don't understand what USC's doing. I mean, the guy lost 1 game. God forbid he lost to a team. He was upset. I mean, there must be more to this story than I don't know. But when the guy went 6-2 in his last 8 games, last year's 5-1 in a messed up season with COVID and went to the Pac-12 title game and lost, but was undefeated at 5-0. I just, man, that seems to be a quick trigger fire. You know, just into the season, you lose to Stanford, and that's just, I mean, we can't have it. So now USC has got a coaching opening, and of course, coaching openings pop up, and immediately Bob Stoops' name gets mentioned. Bob Stoops could be 89 in a retirement home, and people will say Bob Stoops the first guy they're going to look at.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that, weren't you?
I was. The AD, I mean, obviously, he didn't mix his words in his statement. He said, you know, we gave him all the resources to compete for championships over the last 2 years, and it's certain that that's after this time, that's not the direction that we have to go in a different direction. We have to have new leadership. So, obviously, to me, it was one loss this year, and you're done.
You're out of it.
I don't care who it was to.
Wow.
That's what it feels like, right? If he says compete for championships, because he's not talking about Pac-12 championships, obviously, when he says that. And that was for me. And then he loses to Stanford. He just got dominated by K-State, and that was see you later, dude.
Adios. Wow, USC looking for a new head football coach. Crazy. Baseball, the Royals are in action tonight. They host the A's. A's need wins, so the Royals are playing the role of spoiler. Royals are 65-78. Jackson Kowar on the hill for the Boys in Blue, 0-3, ERA just under 10. His last time out wasn't great, but he at least got through 6 innings. First pitch, 7-10 tonight. Good news for the Royals. They have the American League Player of the Week, Andrew Benintendi. Batted 500, 14-28, drove in a Major League best 14 runs during his 7-game week. That was highlighted by his 2-homer, 5-RBI performance during a Royals 6-4 win in Minnesota on Friday. It was second time in 3 days that Benintendi had driven in 5 runs in a game. And Benintendi is the second Royal to earn Player of the Week recognition this season because very recently, catcher Salvador Perez was the AL Player of the Week. So the Royals and the A's start their series 3-game set starting tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Major League Baseball standings, the Rays have an 8-game lead over Toronto, 9 over the Yankees, 9 over Boston. White Sox, 12-game lead over Cleveland, so they've wrapped up that division. Houston, a 6.5-game lead over Seattle. Oakland now 7 games back. And then NL East, Atlanta with a 4.5-game lead over the Phillies. Mets are 5.5 back, but with a losing record. Milwaukee, 89-55. They have a 14-game lead over Cincinnati. And don't look now, but here come the Cardinals trying to get a wild card spot. They're 14.5 out. And the Giants are the first team in Major League Baseball to clinch a playoff spot. What a season they're having. 94-50 is their record. and they lead the Dodgers by 2.5 games. So we go to the wild card standings, because that's where really there's not a lot of drama in regards to who's going to win the divisions other than the Giants and the Dodgers. Everything else is, for the most part, pretty much decided. So then we go to the wild card. See, if we had no wild cards, we'd have no drama this year. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bob Costas. So Toronto and the Yankees have the last two spots right now. And the Red Sox are on the outside looking in. Go Toronto. Go Blue Jays. Go Canada. And remember, they just got back to Canada this year to play. They didn't get to play in Canada last year. Yeah. How cool a story would that be? Seattle's two games out of the last wildcard spot, and Oakland 2.5 back. So that's why this is such a big series for Oakland coming into KC, and the Royals trying to spoil everything. And in the National League, the Dodgers are going to be in, or the Giants will be in as a wild card. One will be the division winner. Cincinnati has a half-game lead over San Diego and St. Louis, and a 2.5 game lead over Philadelphia for the final wild card spot. And we are now at about 18 games left in the season for some, 18, 17, 19 games left. So we are getting to the nitty-gritty at the end of the Major League Baseball season, unfortunately for Dusty and I. We're probably not too in tune with it because our team has been out of it for quite some time, the Royals. But maybe within a few years, we'll be talking about the Royals right there, a chance to win their division or be there for a wild card. That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be outstanding.
I would love it. Go back to the days of 14 and 15, even 13, when the Royals were at least in contention. Mm-hmm. All right, the NBA is always, not always, but they've had problems. If you remember the playoff game that took, like, the last few minutes, took 57 minutes, or what was it, the fourth quarter took 57 minutes, but it took, like, 25 minutes to play the last minute and a half of the playoff game between the Clippers and the Suns in the Western Conference Finals because all the replays. The NBA, I don't know why they hadn't thought of this sooner, but the NBA is going to try to cut down on those replays in the final 2 minutes. Under current rules, any close out-of-bounds decision in the final 2 minutes of a game can be reviewed by the referees. And as soon as the ball goes out of bounds, what do the players do? Check the replay. Every single play almost gets replayed and reviewed, and it takes forever, and everybody gets a free timeout. Well, the NBA is planning on making it to where coaches have to challenge. And that'll be the only form of out-of-bounds reviews in the final 2 minutes. Now, how many challenges they get in the final 2 minutes, I have no idea. That's not posted in the story, but I'm for it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know why NBA didn't do that from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But it's become a fail-safe. We better check it because we've got a sliver of doubt. We're 99.9% sure it was off this guy. Yeah, we better review it because players are asking for it, coaches are asking for it, and so forth and so on. Then the reviews take a while. So I'm all for Major League Baseball, or excuse me, NBA and Major League Baseball, speeding up the replays. I would be great with that.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yes, absolutely. Some other notes here that I'm looking for. How's your fantasy football team doing? Are you in fantasy football, Dusty?
I am.
How'd you do week one? Lose or win?
I won.
You won?
I had some bad showings, but still got
a
dub.
My oldest son said he thought about starting Baker Mayfield instead of Aaron Rodgers. He should have. Rodgers was horrible.
Jameis is on my bench, right?
Yes.
We have an expanded league, right? Uh-huh. And Jameis outscored, expanded scoring. Jameis outscored Aaron Rodgers by 360 points, and Aaron was in my lineup.
Ouch. Well, but who would put Winston ahead of Rodgers?
I mean, before the game, you're not going to do that. But it's just like crazy when you look at it. He had 6 points in a very high-scoring league.
That's not good. That's not good. Yeah, and my son's league, he said that Rodgers got 1.23 points, but he still won because he had Amari Cooper and Tyreek Hill, and they had monster
games. I have both of those guys on my team, too.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then
so you both won, it sounds
there's
like.
There's another receiver that I have that just went off, and I can't remember who it is now.
That's pretty good that you won with no quarterback showing.
Yeah.
That usually doesn't happen in fantasy football. I used to play fantasy football all the time when I was younger. But I just got to the point where I got tired for cheering for teams that played against my team. Mm. I just got sick of it.
Tyler Lockett's my other receiver, by the way. And
okay,
he had a big game too.
But I'm just like, dude, why am I going to cheer against a Chiefs player that's playing against my team for me to win fantasy? And what are we talking about, Leo? You know, in these leagues, you might be winning $100. It's not like it's a ton of money. You know, now if I was playing DraftKings or whatever it might be, and tons of money on the line, but see, that's to me not. It makes it. I think when you, and I'm not condoning gambling, but when you gamble, and fantasy football is a little bit of a gambling thing in regards to you're really paying attention to what somebody does. You're trying to win money at the end of the year. It's a long drawn out gambling type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to follow, and it gets some of the lay fan more involved, the average fan more involved, or maybe people aren't really that big of fans involved. So I think that's a positive. But the negative for me and why I haven't played in quite some time is I just got tired of, oh, hey, I've got a running back for the Raiders, and he's got a chance to score against the Chiefs. Why am I cheering for him to score when I'm a Chiefs fan? And I don't even want to worry about it. I don't want to worry about it. You know, you and I were talking yesterday, like, when you go to a ball game as a fan, why do you have your nose constantly stuck in your phone? Why did you go and why did you pay money to go to a game? You know, and I've said this the other day. I was on the couch and we were watching the football game, and then something happened, and then my oldest is on the couch in his phone, and he's like, rewind that. I'm not rewinding nothing. You're the one stuck in the phone. Put your phone down and watch the game. He's like, well, I can just get the highlight later. I go, okay, then I'm not going to rewind it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where it is kind of annoying. You go to a sporting event nowadays and you see a lot of people, and that's part of the reason why people got hit by foul balls. They weren't paying attention. Mm. They have to put the netting up because people don't pay attention. And some of it's just, you know, bad luck and whatever else. And the net for baseball stadiums down the lines is probably the right thing to do for safety. I get it. You don't want anybody to die. But when you go to a ball game, like, I have to admit, when I go to a ball game, when I check my phone is in between something. Like, at the end of the quarter, I might check something. If I'm at a football game, if I'm at a baseball game, I'll check it in between innings. But I am there to watch the game and enjoy it and try to take it all in. And I look around, I see so many people just stuck in their phones. Now, and everybody, it's not just the women, it's not just the guys, it's everybody. Young people, older people, a lot of people stuck on their phones. Like, why did you even pay money to come here? Like, why you're not even paying attention. You're not even watching the game. Now, granted, the game might be boring, so forth and so on, but I've never fully understand it. And so, like, when I'm watching a game at home, I don't want to be worried about every single person and who scored a touchdown and keep staring at the bottom, the ticker at the bottom, instead of watching the game. And that's what people do at fantasy football. They're stuck on the ticker looking at, oh, such and such scored, and then you look up and like, oh, there's Mahomes, a 75-yard touchdown pass. Oh, crud, I don't have Mahomes. This really sucks, but I'm a Chiefs fan. Yay! I mean, it just, I got to the point where I'm like, dude, I'm out. I don't want to worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the equivalent would be you go to a ball game and you know, God forbid, turn off your phone and shove it in your pocket. Or here's a crazy novel concept. Just leave it in the car. You don't have to have it. Now, I get it if you want pictures, things like that. So you probably keep it on you. But here's a concept. Just shove it in your pocket and leave it in your pocket unless you want to take a picture or something. Don't worry about during the game texting and tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming. And to each their own. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying you're not really getting the full experience of the ball game at all. Yeah. And now that we are getting to go back to sporting events, wouldn't this be the time of all times to put the phone away? Just me.
Yeah.
And whether it's fantasy football, checking your scores. I mean, listen, the scoring ain't going to change because you looked at it five times. Guys are going to score touchdowns. You can't control that. So you can keep checking to see how you're doing your fantasy football. But really, why we shouldn't check it every 2 minutes. Just watch the game you're watching and enjoy it.
I'm generally, I play in a league where people are all the time saying we need to up the entry fee. And I'm like, if you up the entry fee, I'm not playing. Because I'm not playing, I'm not doing fantasy to get rich, right?
Right.
I'm doing fantasy to have fun.
Yes.
And not, like you said, to just not be worried about every player. I have a rule on my team, no Broncos, no Raiders, because of that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want.
You have no Chargers?
Broncos and Raiders I dislike more than the Chargers.
Okay.
I usually don't I might have one Charger on my team anyway. It's like but I strictly do not draft Raiders and Broncos.
Okay.
Because of the fact they play the Chiefs twice a year, and also I don't like them.
Right.
And it's like I don't want to have to worry about them doing good things against my team and be happy about it when my team's getting beat by them.
Okay.
And so, you know, those are the rules I have on my team.
Gotcha.
And again, I'm like, I don't want to spend that kind of money because I just want to have fun, right?
Yeah. I'm with you.
You know, low entry fee, you know, just to have a group of guys that you're friends with is what we've got, and some of my cousins and stuff, and it's like that's good enough for me. I'm not trying to, and that way I don't have to be again on my phone checking all the time how my team's doing like a lot of people are.
Yeah.
I can be like, oh yeah, I haven't checked that for a couple hours, you know, what where were you at right now, instead of every 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah, I know.
How's my team doing?
Right.
Well, it's a fantasy team. It's not your team, but it's your team.
It is funny how addicted. Well, I don't know if it's funny, if it's kind of sad, I think. But it's like I have my phone always on, like a vibrate, almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just almost all the time. So I don't necessarily feel when I get a message or something. And sometimes people call me. I don't notice it until it's too late.
Exactly.
And there's some people that have their notifications on, and as soon as something dings, it's like they drop everything. You could have a child in your arms. You just drop them. And, okay, I'm exaggerating a tad. And then you, some, I don't know. And you go and you immediately check that phone because you are glued to that phone and you've become really a zombie. You really kind of become a zombie when you get to that point. It's like, you know what? That message will be there. That message will be there 10 minutes from now. Now, having said that, if you have, you know, like I do, a young person that now drives, you might be a little bit, when you know he or she is out in the evening or out with friends, you might be a little more likely to, okay, ooh, you know, what if something happened? I do get that part, but people aren't really, that's not the reason they run over and get it. Oh, what's the latest text? What's the latest group text gossip? I love how that gets out of control. You have a group text, next thing you know, it turns into a whole bunch of gossip. It's like, dude, that was not, all we sent out was what time the football practice was going to be. That was it. It had nothing to do with anything else, but, and it's like, okay, just take me off the group text. That's it. That's all. So it is interesting how we deal with the technology, whether we're at the ball field, whether we're at a football game, or whether we're at home trying to watch a game, but then we're not really watching the game. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. The more money involved, then the more likely you're going to be glued to that instead of actually enjoying the game. Yeah. I'm with you. That's why I bet one time I was in Vegas and I put two bets down on two ball games. It's like $5, $10, whatever it was, not very much. It was when I lived in Seneca. So then I'm watching, I happen to watch these two games when I'm back in Seneca. We got back and the games were, you know, obviously after we left Vegas. And I'm watching these games and I'm glued to the end and I pushed on both and didn't win a penny, didn't lose a penny. But I was like all into it and it's like, this, why do I care? I only put $5 on it. That's how they get you.
The same way you feel when you put a bracket together, or if you're in a player pool in the NCAA tournament or something like that, you know, it's elevated, but it's a fun way to pay more attention to the games too.
It's a fun way unless you have a lot of money and you lose.
Yeah, my team a lot of times is not in the tournament recently, so in the NCAA tournament, so it's that's my way of watching the games and making sure I'm paying attention.
Which that is a good thing.
Otherwise, I mean, you watch the first couple round or the first couple days all the time because it's so exciting, and then after that, you kind of lose a little interest.
Yeah,
because it's not as many chances for upsets, things like that,
and
but that helps you keep into it.